Chapter 11. Terror. The Imperial Palace. The Senatorium Imperialis was in full session. It was an incredible sight. For Drakhan Vangarich, it was a sight of Byzantine bureaucracy and tedium. He had 1,000 different ways to assemble relevant intelligence from such bloated, officious gatherings without actually having to attend them. He thought it unwise to miss too many meetings, however. Some personages were inevitably conspicuous by their absence. When the Grand Master of Assassins fails to make an appearance at such assemblies, the pervading boredom inflicted upon attendees prompts people to wonder where such a lord might be and what he might be doing. Wondering was not to be encouraged in the powerful and mighty. Wondering could get people killed. No longer, though, was Vangarich a member of the High 12. Those dignitaries took their thrones on a central dais that turned almost imperceptibly, commanding a slowly revolving view of the stadium seats, petitioners, and functionaries. Below them, the great chamber was bustling with robed minor officials, their aides and advisers. Vangarich was not considered one of these minor officials by any means, but he did have to part a sea of the favour couriers in order to pass long-deferred water. The path between his own allotted throne at the foot of Dawn's mighty statue and the ablutorials passed through the dour throngs of prefecti and consularies. Many lords of the Grand Master's office and station took the upper galleries to avoid such inconvenience. The paths to the private suites of specific influentials and the ablutorials were stalked by adepts, officials, and officers waiting for just a moment of a High Lord's time, or the slate signature it might take to get rid of them swiftly. Some legistrae and ministrators had waited weeks, sometimes months, for a particular lord or significant to pass water. If it wasn't for the politics and the problems solved by such men over the fonts in the vestibulate antehalls, opportunistic encounters would have been an even rarer occurrence. These were not considerations for Drakhan Vangarich. The Grand Master cut through the clusters of officials like a dark knife. Few people on the Senatorum floor wanted to talk to an assassin or be seen to talk to one. This suited Vangarich perfectly, and was why it surprised the Grand Master all the more when he was accosted.
"Master Vangarich," a hooded aide said, "a word with you, sir."
Vangarich slowed and turned. A frown, the result of simultaneous curiosity and annoyance, sat on his face. He said nothing. The aide was dressed in drab, dark robes, but carried herself with the confidence of one who knew she was addressing the deadliest man in the room and didn't care. She was tall. The depths of her hood seemed to hide some kind of extravagant hair arrangement, as well as her face. Above the glint of dark intelligence in her eyes, a third optic, implanted in her brow and glowing a cold blue, created a triangular constellation in the shadows.
"So, you're Calthro's replacement," Vangarich said, before turning his back on the inquisitorial agent and setting off once again across the crowded senatorum floor.
The hooded operative's strides brought her alongside him only a moment later.
"Shame about Calthro," Vangarich said. "I enjoyed our little games."
"There will be no games to be had with me, my lord."
"Nonsense," the assassin told her. "We're just getting started. What's your name?"
"You do not need my name."
"Nonetheless, I want it," Vangarich said as they weaved through the officious masses.
It seemed that Venan's new bodyguard was no less secretive than her mistress.
"Is there not enough tedium in this chamber for you already? It will take nothing to learn it by other means."
"And yet you don't already have it," the woman said. "Disappointing, Grand Master."
"So you're their best,"
Vangarich prodded, not rising to the taunt.
"After Calthro, of course. What am I supposed to tell my best? Should I be warning them to look for you behind them?"
"That's what you're going to have to tell Esad Wire, formerly of Monitor Station KVF, Division 134, Sub 12.
Vangarich narrowed his eyes.
"Nobody serves me under that name," he said.
It was the truth as far as it went. Wire's operative name was Beast.
"Call him what you like," the woman said, "but keep him off my cloak tails."
May I remind you that your predecessor got himself killed, tailing my people, not the other way around?
Vangarich pointed out.
My lady wishes to avoid further entanglements between our organizations, the woman said.
Understandable, the assassin said, considering the result of our last misunderstanding.
Lady Venand considers it just that, a misunderstanding. There will be no retaliatory action. In fact, she appreciates your attempts to be of service during these difficult times. It is my impression that she even likes you, my lord, though for the Imperium I cannot think why.
Is there a point to this?
She also implores you not to meddle further in these affairs. The Inquisition, in its investigatory capacity, will interrogate the present problems and take appropriate action. Protecting the Imperium from enemies within and without was the purpose for which the Inquisition was created. Lady Venand urges you to honour this and restrict yourself and your agents to the parameters of your officio's own remit.
Do not lecture me on parameters and remits.
Vangarich bit back as he parted a throng of petitioners mobbing the navigator's Paternoval emissary.
The Inquisition and its ill-recommended allies have denied the Senatorum intelligence essential to the Imperium's security. Billions have suffered for these machinations. Scores of worlds have been lost to an alien enemy, the existence and threat of which the Inquisition has kept hidden from the Imperium.
My lady apologizes for not taking you into her confidences, my lord, the inquisitorial agent said. She sees now that you would, and still could, be a valued partner in our endeavors.
Yet her apologies fall from your lips, Vangarich snapped.
The inquisitorial agent gestured to the dais of thrones at the center of the great chamber, one of which Inquisitorial Representative Venand was occupying.
She regrets that she is otherwise engaged, my lord, the woman said. However, as a sign of good faith, she has authorized me to share with you intelligence she knows you not to have.
Vangarich gave the hooded operative the hardness of his eyes.
Lady Venand knows that the fleet movements that the Lord High Admiral announced today were procured by your good self through Ecclesiarch Mesring, she went on.
Still, Vangarich gave her nothing.
As a courtesy, she wishes you to know that her eyes and ears within Navy Command are aware of the full scope of the Lord High Admiral's manoeuvres.
And, Vangarich said,
Lansung will not redeploy his fleets, the operative warned.
The Lord High Admiral just announced, with Master Udo at his side, that he was recalling the border fleets, Vangarich said,
taking a chalice of fortified wine from a passing servitor-servant. His nostrils flared for a moment as he raised the wine to his lips, testing for potential toxins out of long ingrained habit, before he drank it down and handed the empty vessel to another ceremonially dressed fat slave.
Recalled, yes, she said. Redeployed, no. Lansung is amassing an armada in the Glaucasian Gulf, off Lepidus Prime. There will be no deployment of Abel Verold's Astra Militarum. The Ecclesiarch will honour his promise to you and declare a war of faith.
The operative gestured once more to the High 12 on their thrones.
Just as soon as Lord Udo has completed his endless commendations of the Lord Admiral's foresight and decisive action. But with the Navy at void anchorage in Glaucasia and the Chartist captains pricing all but the wealthiest of the Ecclesiarch's crusaders out of passage across the Rimwood sectors, Mesring's war of faith is no more than a faithless war of words.
Why are you telling me this?
Vangarich said, his voice tight with anger.
Lady Venand wants your faith, the agent said. The threat these dangers pose to the Imperium is beyond your meddlings and the operational scope of the Officio Assassinorum. Allow the Inquisition to fulfil its purpose. Stop creating ripples in the water. Even the best-intentioned actions could compromise our efforts. Trust in our determinations. Our organization is young, but able and best suited to meet this threat in its myriad forms. Leave us to our calling.
And if I don't?
If you are not part of the solution, the operative said, and have no illusions, Grand Master, you are not, then you become part of the problem.
Vangarich abruptly turned on the agent. A flash of alarm showed in her poise, though she tried to conceal it, and he felt a certain satisfaction at that.
"It seems appropriate that you should threaten me here, on the chamber floor of the Senatorum Imperialis," he said, the coolness of his words at stark odds with the suddenness of his movements. "You see, when the Emperor first envisaged the sprawling bureaucracy of such an organization, many decried the fault in its design. The difficulty in harnessing the trust and concordance of so many factions and parties of interest. What they failed to appreciate was that the Emperor never wanted me to trust you. He never wanted you to trust me. That's the damnable beauty of it all. Our divisions and contrary motives are the checks and balances that such a large and powerful empire requires to keep it on course. We do face a crisis. That is true. I do believe that the Inquisition has an important role to play in its resolution, but the Inquisition, young, eager, and growing in influence, will not use this crisis to grab the power your organization craves, for it craves it no less than the ancient offices and institutions already serving their self-interest. Your allies, through their action or omission of action, are endangering imperial worlds. You will check their ambitions, or you will force me to check them for you. In turn, I will be your check, your balance. For the good of the Imperium, the Officio Assassinorum will carry out one of the duties for which it was created and for which it is expertly suited, keeping the rest of the officios honest. Now, Vangarich said, turning and heading for the ablutorials, please excuse me. The wine, you see, it goes straight through me. As the assassin walked through the gaggles of sycophants towards the ante-halls, he stopped a passing servitor servant and took the final chalice of fortified wine from its silver tray. As he put the rim of the cup to his lips and drank, he watched the servitor mindlessly hold the polished platter at its side, as Vangarich had noticed the chamber drones do many times before. In the mirrored surface of the tray, the Grand Master saw the inquisitorial agent watching his exit, and a second figure, similarly robed and hooded, joined her. Vangarich studied the interloper's height and build, her slenderness and upright carriage obvious, and her step light, even in the heavy robes. He had spent time studying that figure before for knowledge of her weight, balance, ambidexterity and reflexes. All he would need to know to get past her practiced defences and kill her with his bare hands. As she turned, and the light picked out the sharpness of her cheekbones, Vangarich knew that he was looking at Inquisitorial Representative Venand. The real Venand, ghosting the chamber floor as a busybody official, while some surgically crafted double occupied her throne at the centre of the great chamber. Vangarich watched her lips. He read their motions, the way they formed about words for which she had clear distaste. The pair studied him, little knowing that he was studying them right back. He watched Venan's agent give the briefest of reports. "Unfortunate," he read from the light catching Venan's lips. "For you, my lady," Vangarich said to himself, "if you don't heed my warning."
As Venand and her bodyguard melted into the crowd, Vangarich gave the servitor servant back the empty chalice. The withered thing replaced it on the silver tray and walked off, its service done. Passing the politics and double-dealing of the Vestablute fonts, Vangarich entered his reserved ablutory. Even the restrooms of the Imperial Palace had a grandness about their architecture and ornate fittings. "Wait outside," Vangarich commanded upon entrance, prompting a brass-masked servitor who performed the function of attendant to leave the small chamber. His privacy thus assured, the assassin produced a vox bead from his robes and slotted it into his ear.
"Beast?"
"Sir?"
"Mesrings found a way to screw us without screwing us," Vangarich said.
"He told the Lord High Admiral?"
The border fleets are being recalled but not redeployed, the Grand Master spat. He's forming an armada.
A grand gesture,
Esad Wire voxed back.
He can play Galactic Hero without risking a single vessel.
Or his influence in the Senatorum, Vangarich said.
Do you want me to withhold the antidote?
Esad Wire put to the Grand Master. Vangarich considered.
He delivered half a solution, he voxed to Beast. Issue him with the same. Have the antidote solution delivered at half concentration. Something to keep his grace alive, but still useful to us.
Consider it done.
Beast.
Yes, sir?
Meet me at Mount Vengeance.
Yes, my lord.
It's time we got to work.